This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Welcome to the San Antonio Express News' Athletes Roundtable. This is the second part of our Black History Month highlight. I'm your host, Ron Harrod Jr., and I'm joined by three Black athletes from our San Antonio area schools and universities. But for those who don't know you all, please introduce yourself. Asia, can you start?
I'm Asia Prudhomme, and I play basketball.
I'm Isaiah Walker. I'm a junior at UTSA on the baseball team.
I'm Elijah Frizzell. I'm a senior at UTSA, and I run track and field.
Now, I wanted to kind of kick off the roundtable by like sharing some stories and kind of talking about like your journey of how you all got here today. So can someone start with kind of like who you are, kind of how'd you get to this point?
I'll go ahead and start. So like I kind of just played sports my whole life. I kind of played everything growing up. I did track, cross country, basketball, baseball. But I kind of started baseball at a young age, and it's a skill development based sport. So you kind of got to start it young, and I started that young. Continued that all the way through, and I was the best at that in high school, so that's what I stuck with in college. But definitely playing multiple sports growing up and being an athlete in that sense, that's kind of made me who I am today on the field, being versatile to play different positions and stuff like that. So definitely being an athlete translates to baseball for me, and that's kind of, I kind of got here.
I guess as far as it goes for me, just like Isaiah said, I played like every sport growing up, from golf to tennis to everything. But, you know, being at a height disadvantage, you know, some sports just wasn't going to work for me, like basketball and football. Like that just wasn't going to work. But I've been doing track my whole life since I was like 8. And I kind of just like stuck with it. Like since I've been doing it for so long, like I kind of want to just see it to the end. And I guess like I came to college during COVID. So like recruiting standards, like it was just different. Like we couldn't do visits or like anything like that. Seasons got cut short, but it was a blessing for me to get this opportunity to run at the college level. So I guess just having that opportunity is just like kind of, it's kind of like helped me grow as a person, helped me develop my talents. And then here we are now on the last year.
For sure. Asia?
Just like them, I played a lot of sports. I played football, I did cheerleading, I did softball, I did track, I did basically almost all the sports. But mainly I stuck to basketball around when I turned like maybe like 10 or 11. I played basketball, and then that's just been my sport ever since. I've been good at it, so that's just what I stuck to.
Okay, now that we've kind of had all of our athletes kind of introduce themselves, I wanted just to add just some background on them. So starting with Asia, I know you averaged 12 points per game during your three varsity seasons at East Central High School. For Elijah, I know you're a sprinter. You're from the Dallas area, a kinesiology major, and a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. For Isaiah, I know you're a baseball player. Isaiah told me he plays everywhere on the field, wherever coach needs him. And you do want to be a pilot as you grow older. So I thought that was something really cool. So now I want to kind of talk to each of you kind of about like where you all are from and how that made you. So I know, Asia, you're from the east side of San Antonio. Can you talk about growing up on the east side? How's that made you who you are today?
Growing up on the east side of San Antonio, it's really like the part I'm from, it's really in the country for real. And now they put houses and stuff, so like it's really not the country no more. But it's really been the country. It's out there by Heritage and Oakhurst and stuff like that. So if you know where that's from, then it's out there in the country. But it's the way I grew up out there is just probably like any other country person. Like,
there was some stuff that you did growing up.
Play by myself outside, really. We had some cows. We had chickens before. Yeah. We had a big old orange tree. It got ruined by the snow recently. So, but that was good. It's really just country stuff for real. Just really country stuff. That's it.
For me, I went to Manville High School in the South Houston area, and Manville is a real big football, basketball, track school. So growing up in the neighborhood, like, my parents would never let me be inside. We would always, me and my next door neighbor, Kyler, we'd be out from sun up to sundown just playing basketball, kickball, football, whatever. I think just being outside and being active at a young age like that and just constantly doing stuff that molded me into the athlete I am right now. And then just throughout high school, I'll say Manville is kind of like HBCU version of a high school. It's mostly Black population. So obviously football, basketball, track is going to be up there for that. So obviously participating in those sports, it's very competitive and kind of molds that competitiveness in you because that's just how it is.
I guess for me being from Dallas, like everybody played a sport no matter who. Like I couldn't look back and think of somebody who didn't play a sport, whether man or woman. Like it really wasn't an option. Like from a young age, you're playing a sport upwards, elementary, like all the way up through high school. But I went to a small Catholic school in Oak Cliff, Bishop Dunn. So I guess just going to like a small Catholic school, we still played against public schools. So I guess just having that that stereotype against us, like, oh, private schools, they can't really like compete. But then when we go out there, you know, we're beating like 5A, 6A teams. So I guess just being from like a little small school, you have like kind of like that grudge on you. And you just want to like prove to other schools that like it don't really matter what division that you're in. Like if you're an athlete, we all come to compete.
And like in high school, did any of you have like any negative experiences, either just adversity that you faced or like race related? I guess we can start with you, Asia. I know you had with the Marble Falls incident. Can you just talk? Well, first, I guess what the incident was, and then kind of how that's kind of affected your life since.
The incident was I was standing at the free throw line getting ready to shoot a free throw, and a kid in the student section was making monkey sounds at me, and we got it on video. And it made me, after the whole situation, I didn't really hear him when I was making my free throw because everybody, if you know basketball, everybody is taught to focus on your free throw. Don't worry about anything else that's going on. So that's what I was doing. I was just focusing on my free throw. Of course, I made the free throw. But, he was making monkey sounds, and I really didn't notice it until after the game. The coach showed me the video. So it was just like, my feelings was hurt because like it was 2023. Like, why are we still doing this? Why are we still being racist? Not like, really. This is childish. Like, and so like my feelings was hurt. And so up to then, it just changed my whole perspective about Caucasians, kind of. Like, I really keep my distance a little bit, but I'm not gonna treat them any different. Like, I'm not gonna treat them like a dog. Like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna treat them like a regular human being that they are, but I'm gonna just keep my guard up to what they saying to me and stuff like that. So that's.
And when you talk about like trust, since like that's a race that you said kind of hurt you, but this, you know, that's a huge population, not only in San Antonio, but in the United States. And that's something you're going to have to, you know, deal with in the job force or coaches wise. How do you, navigate that? I know you kind of talked about, even though that you may, you know, you felt like they treated you bad, you said you weren't going to treat them back. You talked about kind of your mentality on, even though that you felt like you were, I guess, like disenfranchised, but you won't do that to them.
Yeah. So the way I grew up was treat people how you want to be treated, you know. But like the way I grew up is also have respect for everybody. So I'm not gonna like treat somebody different because the way they look or the way they talk or the way they dress or the way they look. Like, I'm not finna do that. That's not how I was grown up. That's not how it is. That's not how it should be either. Like, so like me saying that, it's just like, I don't care who you are. I don't care like what you do. I'ma still have my respect for you. Like, I'ma still care for you. I'ma still be there for you. But like at the same time, I'ma keep my guard up. I'm not gonna let my guard down just so you can run me over. I'm not gonna do that. So.
And you have like a comment on that situation?
I mean, it's good that you keep your head on straight. I mean, I know like we're in a generation where it's kind of like a little divide between African Americans and like the white population. But it's just something that like you can't really stop it, but you can just change on how you react to certain things that like go on. So the way that you react, you know, that's like plus one. Like, I know it's tough to be like the bigger person sometimes, but you know, sometimes whenever you look back, you could probably appreciate being the bigger person.
Yeah, no, I kind of like how you said, like, you're not going to let that one situation change how you look at people just in general, like the whole population. Like, nah, we need to be big on like judging people for what they do for them and not for, okay, this one person in this category did this to me, so I'm going to treat everybody in this category like this, and I got hate for all y'all because this one person did that. Like, nah, it shouldn't be like that, regardless of race, gender, whatever differences we have in life. Like, we should judge people based off what they did to us and not just generalize everything. And I feel like as a society, we kind of do that way too much now.
And then for you two, is there any racial incidents that you all had in high school? And if not racial, just any adversities you think you had to overcome? It's maybe a coach wasn't trying to play you. It could be anything.
I kind of had that situation for me in basketball versus baseball. Because in high school, all the way through high school, I played both basketball and baseball for the school team. And there's a little interference at the end of basketball season and the beginning of baseball season. And, but I was like playing on a varsity level for both of them. So obviously there was a conflict of interest there. And, so like the following off season, I wanted to do, half my days in the off season with baseball, half of them with basketball. But, basketball coach didn't really want to do that, even though his big argument was that I wouldn't know the plays and stuff like that, but I would go out there and run the plays for everybody. I'd be on defense, shooting gaps because I knew exactly what the play was already. So I didn't really feel like that was a valid reason, but that kind of just brought some differences between me and the coach. And we kind of had some issues with that, with the basketball coach. So that's kind of what I feel like kind of led me to sticking with baseball in the end, which I'm not complaining. Like, it's a blessing where I'm at right now. Like, I'm part of a great program at UTSA playing baseball, and I still love basketball and everything like that. And some days I do miss playing it, but that definitely molded it changed the direction of where I was going to go, like, for my college career. Because at that point in time, like, I won't say I was the best at basketball, but I think I could have played on the collegiate level. So that option was still open. But as soon as that stuff happened, it kind of was like, okay, I'm a stick to baseball.
Anything similar?
I guess for me, like, I never really had any like racial incidents, but I think the biggest adversity was just injuries. Like, I was just constantly hurt.
Type of injuries?
Everything: hamstrings, quad, hips.
And you're a runner too, so this is like,
yeah. But yeah. Even like, I still got hurt playing like other sports like basketball. Like, my knees, I'm still recovering from that. But yeah, knees, ankles, everything. But yeah, mainly, you know, like, some legs, like, it was just something that was just like year round, like clockwork. Like, as soon as it gets to around March, boom, injury. Yeah, and you just like right before the season.
Yeah,
but it was just like, sometimes you just gotta. I guess one thing that I wish I could have done better was just like preparing more, like on the physical therapy side, like just to get everything stronger before the season. But that's in the past though. But hey, we're here now. Yeah,
and so you're from the Oak Cliff area in Dallas.
Yeah.
So that's
like I'm really from like Duncanville.
Okay. But,
I went to school in like Oak Cliff though.
So these are pretty like predominantly, or they have a huge African American population in these places.
Yeah.
Kind of, how have you kind of dealt with the transition from coming from those huge black populations to like a San Antonio?
I guess for me, like, it didn't really feel like too much of a different transition because UTSA, like, they're pretty well diverse. Like, I don't know the percentage, but it's like fairly high compared to other public schools within Texas. So I feel like once I got here, like, I found my black community just like straight off the bat, like just joining different organizations, BSU, shout out to Men of Honor. You know, they really helped. I'm fumbling my words. Men of Honor, they really held it down for me. So I guess like once I got here, it was just like those opportunities were just made like present to me. So I didn't really feel like too much of a different transition really.
And how would you say your college experience has been at UTSA?
I think mine's kind of been similar. You know, I came from a high school that I was surrounded by mostly black people. But, like, obviously, baseball is a predominantly white sport. So growing up, I was kind of in both mixes. So it's kind of similar here. Like, baseball is still predominantly white. So, but I still have other groups. Like I'm real cool with the track team, basketball. So I get my community in, or my black community in other places. But I'm still definitely cool with like my teammates and stuff like that. Like, so I feel like it's cool just to have different friends in different places and get to see different perspectives all over the place. So.
And then I know, Asia, I know, so you were at Our Lady of the Lake University. Yeah. You were playing basketball there. Can you kind of talk about just your situation there, why you left and everything?
I left because financial issues, really. Financially unstable. But I recently got the opportunity. Thank God I finally got the opportunity to get the chance to play again next year at Texas A&M to be a part of the first female basketball girl program now. So I will be playing at Texas A&M next year.
And so, which, like in Texas A&M, in what city?
San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah, San Antonio. So I will be back here next year.
And how excited are you kind of for that? Because I know you've gone through a lot, as we've already kind of heard.
Yeah.
So knowing that kind of you've dealt with all those different type of things, but you know, you're still pushing through. You haven't given up yet.
Yeah. Because I feel like I got something to prove. I feel like I got to make my family proud, so.
And then I know I talked to your East Central girls basketball coach, Coach V. I think you told me prior that you look at her, you look up to her as similar to like a stepmom. Like,
yeah.
You really look for her. She's like your somebody you confide in, somebody you trust in. Talk about why and how she's built that relationship with you.
She's just been there with me since the beginning. Since, not the beginning, but like since I came back from ninth grade because I didn't play my ninth grade year. So she just believed in me since I came back. So she always kept that faith in me and always kept that faith in her to keep that faith in me. So.
And during you all's kind of like tough moments, like adversity, is there someone that you go to? It could be a parent. It could be a coach. Anybody?
For me, it's definitely just my family. My parents in general, like they're always there for me. And then probably my sister, like she's probably been my biggest fan, like from growing up. Like she went to all the games growing up, and I know definitely for her, like going to my tournaments and stuff growing up was a big part of her life because she always had to be there since like, obviously she wasn't playing. So she was just supporting. So like, I know I could always go to her and that she's going to encourage me and like be there for me. Cause she's always been there for me. So definitely my sister.
Most definitely God first. And then after that,
Amen.
And then after that, family. So mom, dad, grandparents, definitely, because they've already been through everything that I'm going through. So I guess just to be vulnerable with them is definitely been a blessing. Like they can offer me advice, calm me down, direct me through various situations. So shout out to the fam, definitely.
And so you were raised by your grandparents?
No. I was raised by my mom and dad, but mom and grandparents, they live like close by. So like I had like a real tight relationship with them.
And kind of, I guess, building a relationship kind of with your grandparents, because I know, Asia, you have a similar background. Well, Asia, I think you were raised by your grandparents for a bunch, and then you just have a really good, close relationship. Kind of how has that helped you all kind of, like, having that, like, support system as well with like, a grandparent? How has that helped you get here?
Oh, man. I think really just the nurturing side of things. Like, you know how they say, like, two is better than one? Four is better than two. So, I mean, I guess just having that extra, like, set of hands, extra brain just to help guide you. Like, let's say my parents were, like, too busy. Like, my grandparents would, like, be there. So, I know, like family, like, they wouldn't skip a beat at all. So, I guess just knowing that love and, like, support is there, like, that means the most, really.
Now, for our listeners that maybe are looking to be Division I athletes or just go to college and play a sport, is there any advice that you would give a future college athlete?
I would say how you do anything is how you're going to do everything. So don't just like think, oh, I want to be a Division I college athlete. Like I got to put everything in the sports and then just neglect everything else. Like nah, you put everything into sports and then put everything into your academic side too, because especially on this level, like college nowadays is expensive. So if you get scholarships in other academic areas, and that'll help the whole cause. And just besides that, like that turns out to be your character. Like if you do everything 100% and work hard, then at that point, that's just who you are. You're a hard worker, and not just on the sports side, which I feel like we emphasize more than we do everything else.
I'll say, yeah, definitely take your academics serious, because for me, I'm not on scholarship, but I still go to school for free because I have like the academic side. And that's like the best thing is to come out debt free. Like I don't have to worry about paying nobody back. I can just stack my money up. But I guess just being well diverse, I'll say, because college sports or really just sports in general, it has to stop at some point. I mean, not just like stop playing, but college is only 4 years. You know, for some 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
COVID. But, COVID year.
Yeah. But it's like it only lasts so long. So you have to think about life outside of sports. You know, be well-rounded. Like, be diverse. Make connections, like business side, like everything. Because it's just like if you're more diverse, like it'll definitely take you up further, because then you can combine like your – academic side and your athletic side, and now you like a 2-for-1 package instead of just this is all I have to offer. You have like multiple things to give to somebody, and that would definitely open up more eyes, more opportunities, everything.
And is there anything that you wish you kind of would have known, Asia, that you would recommend to someone that maybe comes from your walk of life before going to college?
Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Don't let nobody tell you what you can and can't do, because you can do whatever you want to do. So, yeah.
And when did you all kind of – actually, no, I want to ask this. So, I know to be an athlete, you have to be competitive. Can you all talk about just how competitive you are? And maybe it's like a funny moment. You say, okay, I was into that moment that time. It could be any moment.
Just like anytime.
Yeah, you say, you know what, like maybe you had a goal, you accomplished that goal, or maybe you said like I wanted to beat this guy, was the better person maybe at one point, but I worked my way to get to that level, or you accomplished something that you were really interested in doing or beating.
I don't know. I'm gonna go like more of like my childhood, like when we was playing basketball on the street and pick up basketball. Just how like that molded into my competitiveness now is I was playing basketball. It was me and my neighbor Kyler. Like, we kind of like dominate like our little area, area of the neighborhood in one-on-ones and stuff. So we would be playing one-on-ones like till like 11 o'clock at night. Like, luckily the street light was just right over the hoop. So like, we still had some light and stuff to play, but like, we'd be going back and forth all day. And like, anytime anybody else would come, we would dominate them because we were always going at it with each other. Every time. So like whenever someone else came, we was like, man, you ain't nothing compared to what we've been doing. So that's what I tell actually my roommate now, his name Joseph. He claims he beat me in basketball, pick up basketball.
Claims.
Yeah, claims. That's what I'm saying. Like he claims he beat me like 3 out of 10 times, which I don't remember a single time that he beat me in basketball. And like nobody else, none of our friends do either. So I think
be that one friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they just come out of nowhere. Like they just forgot the past or something. Rewriting history. But no, I think those moments like shaped into my character and just the competitive nature. Like now, that's just who I am at this point. So, mm-hmm.
Is there anything you all did maybe as kids? I know at Asia, I know from seeing you play. I mean, you're bully ball.
Yeah.
So just kind of talk about when you're on the court, like. What are you looking to do? I think you told me one of your favorite players is Draymond and Giannis.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's just kind of, I mean, as for those to be your favorite players, you got to be competitive. Kind of talk
most
about that.
Most definitely. I think I got my competitiveness from playing football. If I didn't play football, I'd probably be skinny, man. A stick. I would have no muscles, nothing. So football, most definitely. Like being able to go against the boys, tackle the boys, you know. Get to the quarterback, intercept the ball, you know. And then at the end of the games, it was just like the feeling of being able to take my helmet off and show them I'm a female. I beat y'all. Like, I'm a female, bro. Like, come on. So that's probably the main thing that helped me.
How long did you play football for, by the way?
It was little league. So it was like maybe like a year or two, probably. I mainly cheerleaded because my grandma, she always made me do that.
But football was your passion.
Yeah, most definitely. One time I walked off, when we were chilly and I told him it was too hot and I went to go play on the playground, I didn't want to cheer. I did not want to do that no more. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be playing football on the court like Draymond?
A little bit. When I get in the paint, I just, boom, hit him with my shoulder and it's over with. Yeah. It's over.
Okay, respect. Elijah, do you have any moments like that?
I guess just like racing people. Because I know like a lot of people, they'd be like, you know, like, I'm fast. I'm like, all right, we can line it up right here. And I jog and I still beat them. Like, you know, I guess just like just always being like, I'm always willing to race somebody. I don't even care.
To this day, you're willing to race?
Well, not right now. But because I just had surgery two weeks ago. But like anytime before that, we can do it in socks, barefoot, flip-flops, anything.
You're always ready.
Yeah, concrete, gravel, like I'm willing to race. So I guess just always just having that competitive nature, even if it's not on the court field, just still being willing to compete, you know. Yeah. That's always a plus one.
Definitely. Okay, now let's move on. This is our kind of our last segment. This is our fun rapid fire round. We're going to ask you questions. You have to get too deep into it, but it's you know, it's jokes. It's fun. Okay, so for our first question, we have, what is the better side dish? We have mac and cheese or collard greens?
Oh, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Who eat collard greens?
Give me the greens.
What?
Man, you tripping.
Give me the greens with a little vinegar. Yeah.
Oh, a little vinegar. Okay.
No, hot sauce, too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm lactose, so you know.
Same.
My parents eat that too much. Nah. I'm going to stick with my mac and cheese, man. Yeah.
So we got, okay, I'll be here with you. We got two and two. We're split on the mac and cheese and the grains. Okay, greatest athlete of all time, I have Serena Williams or Michael Jordan. Thought that'd be interesting.
I mean,
you have to pick between the two?
Yeah, I pick between the two.
Between knowing Michael Jordan, like his background history and stuff like that, and Serena, I'm going to have to go with Serena because Serena ain't did the amount of stuff Michael Jordan did, if you know.
I'm going Serena also.
I'm going with Serena. Like, so
Serena changed the game.
Hey.
Sure. Like, and if we talk about MJ, I mean, he's in a debate for his own sport goat. So
I mean, like, respect, your respect.
Sport goat, then there ain't no debate with Serena. Like,
that's true.
I'm rocking with it. Yeah.
Oh, Serena with the sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Serena, I mean, this is one of the most accomplished players in any sport, but in tennis, I mean, that's what she does. So. Okay, now better movie. I have Friday, Juice, or Set It Off. Now, this is Black History Month, so I didn't want to pick three black movies. So Friday, Juice, or Set It Off.
Oh, Friday.
Friday. It's iconic.
Man.
You don't have to pick that as well.
I get to start quoting.
I like my movie, scene. Set It Off, man.
Set It Off,
like
for
it.
Sure.
I like my movie, Set It Off. I like it.
Is any of these movies like one of you all's like favorite movies in general?
Nah, I mean, it's up there like top 10 probably, yeah, Friday, but it's not like number one. Nah.
He be quoting it all the time.
Oh,
so. Yeah.
Oh really?
John Witherspoon.
Oh, okay. Okay, now, lastly, does anyone know what Muhammad Ali's birth name is?
Nah.
Anybody?
It's probably something goofy, right?
It's Cassius Clay. So Muhammad Ali changed his name because he's Muslim. So essentially he changed his name to get rid of his ties. He said, I think his last name was tied to slavery. It's not his actual name, so he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. That was just my last little trivia question. Hey, Black History Month.
See, I knew that. I knew that. You know, can't recall in the moment.
Nah, I don't know.
Folding sure. Under the pressure.
Okay, now this is the last one I have. So going back to the Jordan one, I did have, we did this with our coaches. We have Michael Jordan. We do have LeBron James. So who do you all think is the greatest basketball player of all time?
I don't like LeBron, so I'm gonna just go with Michael Jordan. Like, simple. I do not like LeBron, like, at all.
I'm gonna rock with LeBron, personally.
LeBron.
I mean, okay. He is, like, number one scoring, isn't, and he's gonna reach 40,000 points probably in the next, like, couple games.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's close. I'll say that. It's close, but LeBron, like, he's just been doing it, like, what, 20 how many years?
20 this is 21, like I think. Yeah, something like that.
No, I think it's definitely LeBron. Just because, like, the longevity of it, like, he and some of the teams he's carried to the finals, like, let's be for real. If LeBron not on that team, they in the lottery. Like, they picking first overall next year, and he drags them to the finals for what was that run? He had like nine straight finals appearances.
Yeah,
like,
Yeah, like, you've been to 10, so yeah.
Like, it's the LeBron Invitational. That's what the fans
okay.
So, and I'm not even a huge LeBron fan. Like my favorite basketball player is Steph Curry. So I had to sit there and deal with LeBron all those finals runs. Mm-hmm. Like, so I know the fear it put in me whenever I see my team going against LeBron. So that's why he the GOAT to me.
Okay, definitely. Now, I did want to thank you all for participating in our Express News Athletes Roundtable. We hope to make this like an annual tradition for our listeners. So be sure to check out our video's description and make sure to click on the link, which we will have our article in there, and you can hear some other athletes' voices.